our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We come here today to praise Him. We come here today to learn something from His Word, which you already have. I want to talk to you about something. Why don't you tell me what it is? Songwriters and poets have tried for years to pin it down and write it. They've tried to talk about it. They've tried, like in songs, and try to tell us what it's all about. And you know what? Sometimes they catch it and sometimes they don't. What do you think I'm talking about? Love, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. It's love. I'm going to be over in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, 1 through 13. You know what? Songs like Kiss You Know You, those are popular songs that have been out here in the world today. And you know what? They try to catch the essence of what it's all about. But you know what? Sometimes I don't even think they even catch it in a way that we really as Christians should see it as caught. And I really don't think they do. Or we can tell someone the old story about, you know what, how I used to play the game with, she loves me, she loves me not. They took a, I don't think the percentage of that working very good. I don't really think that that's what I'd base my relationship on if I was you young people. I really don't think I'd grab a flower and do that with it. But you know what? I don't think they do. But you know what? Let's read the scripture here, what it says in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, starting with the first verse. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not charity, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doeth not seek itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away. But then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And you know this, you've probably heard this through time, but every time charity is mentioned, it means in this. Anyway, let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to thank you for the opportunity that I have to stand before you this morning, stand before this congregation, Lord, and I pray, Father, that the message would go out in a way that would be pleasing unto you, Lord. I pray, Father, for your mercy upon my life and upon the lives of those that you gather here this morning, Lord. Set our hearts in the way that be pleasing unto you, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name we ask. And amen. Amen. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church here, we know, the church at Corinth. And the thing about this church was, what he was basing this on was, it was the largest city in what is now modern-day Greece. This city was like 75,000 people. It had all kind of people that would visit it all the time. And you know what? It had people come from everywhere. Everywhere that they would come from. It was known in that day as the city of love. That's what it was known as. That's what got me to thinking about it. It was known as the city of love. Why? Well, because of their twisted view of what love was. You see, one of the things that was, and in her temple were thousands of priests, priestesses, is what they were. What they were prostitutes. And what they would tell the people was, they said, if you would come in here, and you would make love to us, you would find what the true meaning of love was really about. And that's what they taught. And that's what they were teaching in these temples. All, you know, that town was another temple, which was called, that was a popular, by the way, that was a popular misconception of that day. And I want to tell you something right now. Do we not see it in this day and age that we live in also? Let me just take it a little bit farther with that. Do we not see it today in this day we live in? Also, the temple of Dionysus was found there also, and intoxication. So there we had, on the one hand, we had one of the temples that had prostitution as one of them. On the other hand, they had the one that was strong drink and intoxication. And also, they had a temple of Iris, which was a temple of magic. You want to talk about a party town? Morgantown didn't have nothing. I want you to know that. And you know what? Against this backdrop is what Paul was trying to teach the Corinthian church what love was all about. He was trying to get, wasn't it very simple what he said? But did it not strike to the very heart of it? As simplistic as it was, praise God, what he was trying, just when I was reading this scripture, I said, Lord, I said, how can this be? How can we talk about love? It's been preached about so much, it's been talked about so much in churches down through the years. There's nothing that I've ever preached that has probably never been preached before, but praise God this morning. I think God told me to preach it this way, so bear with me as we go with it. I want to tell, well, no, I know you know how to spell, and I want to break it down, and I want to say it, I want to use every letter in it, and I want to describe to you what I feel that God is trying to describe to us about love. Of course, the first letter in the word of love is L. And what that means to me is less. And you may say, less of what? I want you to do something. There will be less of us and more of Him. Am I right? Amen. I want to tell you something. Whenever you met your wife, whenever you met the one that you love, I want you to know something. You were willing to give up part of yourself, or you should have been willing to give up part of yourself to make that individual happy. Am I right? Amen. I tell you what, you're not going to have the right kind of relationship that you are unless you're willing to take this thing. And some people say 50-50. I want to tell you, no, it goes more than that. I want to tell you it's 100% of you. It's 100% of her. It's 100% of both of you doing what God wants you to do. And I tell you what, it takes, because if it's not, it will not work. When Jesus comes into our hearts, we put Him first. Do we not? Look at John 3:30. Whenever John the Baptist's disciples, they come to him and they were asking the question because there were people that were leaving him and going over to Jesus. And John told him, he said, that he must increase, but I, disciples, the very same thing that Jesus is telling us. Whenever Jesus comes into our hearts, I want you to know, whenever he saved me, there was a whole lot of me that had to get out of the way. Amen? And I want you to know, whenever He saved you, there was a whole lot of you that had to get out of the way, whether you know it or not. Whether you believe it or not, I want you to know. I had to take and give Him my will. I had to give Him whatever that was needed to get the job done that He wanted me to do. And at the time, I wasn't preaching. I was just a Christian. But you know what? When I went back to school the next day, whenever I got saved, and I went back to school, those kids had to know that, you know what, it wasn't the same day long that was there the day before. There was all the stuff that I liked to do before, and everything that I had, whether it was part of me in the past, whenever Jesus come in, I want you to know I give it up. I give it over to Him, not because it was something that was expected of me. You know what? I wanted to do it, amen? I wanted to, because I loved the one. Whenever you married her, you were willingly wanting to make her happy, or she should be willingly wanting to make you happy. Amen? It's got to be both ways. It can't be one. You know what? So why so many started to follow Jesus? In John 3:26, the same baptizes, and all men come unto Him. When Jesus comes in, the old human nature must go out of us. Amen? It must go. It cannot be there anymore. It must get out of us. Paul also tells us over in 1 Corinthians 15:9, for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle. The man that wrote most of the New Testament, the man that's the pinned down most about Jesus Christ, and that's what he understood early. And brothers and sisters, whenever we truly love, it's less of us. Amen? It's going to be less of us. And I'll tell you something, I am so thankful that Jesus showed. 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, of Jesus and serving Him, the better it's going to be for Him. And I want you to know something, the better it's going to be for us one of these days. Amen? It will be a, when there's less of us, I want you to understand something, someone else will always benefit from it when there's less of us involved in the equation. Amen? Look at 1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity vaunteth not itself. Always be less of a humble individual, right? There's always going to be less of that person. I tell you, I've known people that they were so full of themselves. And I hate to say it, but they were so full of themselves. There's no way that they could ever get anything accomplished. I think I told you, I was over and seen an evangelist one time. Everybody talked, we're going to go over and see this guy and get a good word of God and listen to him. I want to tell you something. When he come in and started preaching, he was more worried about combing his hair than he was preaching the Word of God. I sat there for 45 minutes and watched him pull his comb out of his pocket, constantly combing his hair. He was so And I told myself when I left there, you know what? That man, and Lord help me for judging, but I tell you what, I could not help myself that night. So that man needs to be a little bit more humble. I said, he needs to understand that it's not about him. It was about Jesus Christ. Amen? And I tell you, he did it as a humble one. There'll be always less of him. In Luke 14:10, it says, but when that he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up hither. I want to tell you something, brothers. Less of us, there'll be a humble us. And I want you to know something. We won't want to be the top person in the room. Amen? We won't want to be. We can get more done when there's less of us. And there's more of Jesus showing through. Get you up. Humble yourself in the sight of God and in the sight of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, if there's less of you involved in that way, He is going to lift you up. You are going to be the servant that He wants you to be. And you know what? The love that He has bestowed upon us when He saved us, I want you to know, it'll shine. The centurion went to Jesus for the healing of his servant. Remember that story? It's over in Matthew 8:8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I'll tell you what, brother, there are people out there today, they think that, you know what, he's going to be the first one that he comes to. Just look how righteous I am. Just look how good I am. I want you to know something, brother. We better have a centurion spirit about us, and you know we better say, Lord, I'm not worthy to do anything for you, but praise God, if you want me to, humble me down, Lord, and I will be. Give me less of me. Not be a problem, folks. I want you to understand that. When there's less of us, so when we show ourselves, have you ever, my grandmother used to tell me, you're showing yourself. Your grandmother, your parents ever say, when you was a kid, she would tell, maybe that's just an old saying, maybe some of you young ones haven't seen it. You know, I was talking about last week when you go into the store and kids would do what they were doing. You know what? My grandmother would say, you know what, you're showing. You know what, whenever we are selfish, we show ourselves, do we not? We get these little fits that we do. Over in Luke, he's a very good example. Luke 10:38. Down through 42, and you know the story. Now it came to pass as they went, and that they entered into a certain village, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And but Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that brother. I'll tell you what, the one lady was up to the feet of Jesus. You know what? She was worshiping and praising Jesus. The other one was there trying to work and serve. But you know what? A little bit of jealousy got in there. And you need to praise God. Whenever jealousy shows through, there's a whole lot more of us that should be seen than what should be. And praise God, it works in a marriage. As a matter of fact, it works that way in any kind of a relationship. Brother said, whenever, you know, Ephesians 5:25 tells us, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, yourselves unto your own husband, as unto the Lord. Did you get that? As unto the Lord. Ephesians 5:25, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. I want you to know something. In all that scripture that I read there, did it sound like there's one selfish word in all that right there? I didn't hear one selfish word come on another. We love our wives love us, and we know what? There's less of us involved in a relationship if both of you love one another the way Jesus intended for you to love one another. And I'm going to say up front right now, brothers and sisters, and I want to say this to the men, and I'll say it to you right now. You do not rule 100%. That's not what the Bible ever intended on that. He meant for you to love her. He meant for you to love her to no end. And wives, I want to say something to you this morning too. I know the Bible says submit, but you know what I mean when it says submit. Praise God, you should. Our wives will submit to us in a way that's good. It isn't going to happen if we act like we're some kind of bully. Now, I want to say, we're going to go on with this a little bit more. I want to also say something to you this morning, brothers and sisters. I want to say this. Whenever we submit to Jesus Christ the way that we should, I want you to know His love will, whenever we do that, there won't be no selfishness involved. Jesus does the same for us. Look, He only wants the best for us, brothers and sisters. That's what He wants. Jesus does the same in John 10:10. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. If you want the best for others like Jesus, I'll tell you what, if you want the best for your show through, I want you to know there'll be less of you and Jesus will show through. And now I will tell you what less means good, brothers. Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you. It says believers are not to look proudly. We don't have to look proudly or point at accomplishments. You know, it's telling us being preoccupied with our own things is the greatest hindrance to the Christian fellowship today. It is. When we get preoccupied with everything that we have, and that, you know what? What we have, and we don't worry about anybody else, we let the community, everybody else suffer. I want you to know something. I'll tell you, our witness will suffer. Amen? It will be, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Amen. That's what he said. Can you say unselfish? Can you say lack of an ego? Can you, less pride, less unselfish? Paul had that. Paul knew it. And I want you to know. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. You may be thinking, I don't have those kind of issues in my life. You know what? A lot of people sitting here today, a lot of people sitting out here in the world, they don't think they have any kind of issues whatsoever. A husband and wife, they've been married for about, I don't know, about 10, 15 years. And they're having trouble in the relationship. Everything that the man went to do, everything that he did, it wasn't good enough. Whether or not he helped her clean the house, it wasn't done right. What he wore, no matter what the situation, you know, if he'd make her coffee or anything like that, was never done wrong. Born like this no more. So I'm not. They had two kids. True story. And she said, why? He said, because of the way you are. She said, I'm not that way. Oh, there's no way I'm like that. He secretly taped her for a week in the house. Secretly taped her. Brought it up and showed it to her on video that she was that way. None. She thought everything was great until she seen what she was like. I want you to know something, folks. It would do us good to video ourselves sometimes for about a week and just let us look at it and see what we are. I want to tell you something. God watches us. God's watching us. I want you to know this. He's going to show us everything we've ever done in our life. And I want you to know something, brother. If there's more of us than what should be, it's going to come out one of these days. Amen? It's going to come out one of these days like that. It's hard for us to see our own faults, is it not? It's hard for us to see our own faults. I don't care who we are. As a preacher, as a teacher, it's easy for us to look and say, well, you know what? Sister so-and-so, you know what they're like, and brother says it's easy for us to see that, but it's never easy for us to see our own. When there's less of us and more of Jesus, I'll tell you what, the judgmental attitude will go away. Amen? It'll be that way. Romans 4:13, let us not judge, therefore, judge one another anymore to fall in his brother's way. We see our own shortcomings. Amen? We see our own faults. It's about time we better start looking around. We better start. We can see clearly that less is more. I know I've been on this last little bit. I'll get to the rest of it here in a minute. But you know what? God has given me this. I don't know why he gave me so much on this. Romans 14:7. For none of us live, we live unto the Lord. Or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Amen? That's what we are. If you're thinking for a minute that what you do, and I heard it said here a little bit earlier, you know, whenever we're out here, no matter what we do, we're planting seeds out here. What we do unto the Lord. While you're wearing that moniker of Christian, and you're out here in the world, and you're doing something that's not right, I want you to know something. That moniker's on you, and people are looking at you, and you know what? You will answer for that one day, just like I will answer for it one day. 1 Corinthians 13:5, talking about church. Doeth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not. It does not do that. The second letter in it. I finally got off last for you, brothers and sisters. The second letter is the O, should stand for others. The golden rule. Well, you know what the golden rule is. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even to them. It's obvious when there's less of us, and there's going to be less of us to love, there's going to be more to the others that this should be brought out. Amen? In our giving, Matthew 5:4, to give to him that asketh thee, from him that would borrow of thee, thou turn not away. God will bless us if we put others first. He will do that. God will bless. shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I'm going to tell you what, there's a law of giving and receiving right here, and it's not Dave Long's law. It's in the Word of God. It's in the Bible. And if we give, and if, amen? That's what's in there. That's not my word. And you know what? And it doesn't always mean in financial reason. Do you understand me? It does not always mean that way. Romans 12, 15, 6. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. I'll tell you, others must be in our thoughts. Someone hurts in this church. I want you to know something. We should hurt. Amen? When other people are rejoicing for the Lord, we should rejoice with them. I'll tell you what, that is what it's about whenever we put others first. Amen? That's what it's about. Romans 12 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, honor, preferring us to do. Is it not? That's hard for people to do sometimes, to prefer other people. You know, that's hard for us to do sometimes, is it not? It's hard for us to get our wants and our needs out of the way and to totally think of others. And praise God, I want you to know something. I want you to know something. Isn't that what the Bible tells us to do? Isn't that what He tells us to do? Isn't that what true love does? It should be the way that it is. We should think of the other one more than we do ourselves. You know, the Bible says for a husband, you know, to take care of his wife like he does his own body. I'll tell you what, guys. How many of you would stand, and you know, you stand in front of a mirror, you brush your teeth, you comb your hair, you do all the things to make yourself look good. You know what? We should love wives just as much. Amen. We should love them just as much. And wives, the same thing. Like mothers and fathers, like grandparents and uncles, church members, one another, for many as we can help outside our community. You know what? Does that sound like a fantasy world? Does it sound like a fantasy world? It's not. It's not a fantasy world if we love the way that Jesus Christ intended. It should not be. Say, godless world is blinded, the minds of them which believe not. You know why? Because drugs. Because, you know what, families torn apart, violence, the world in turmoil and constant turmoil. You don't think that the God of this world has not blinded people, has not blinded families? Many out there today, there's so many in single families and single homes, and their parents are maybe not around sometimes. And you just think about that. Because why? Because the God of this world has blinded them, and all they care about, and all they care about is getting their own needs met and their own things. Others that's not coming to care, could care less who blinded them well. What if Jesus had done the same to us? I heard that here this morning. What if Jesus had done the same thing to us? What if He would have said, I don't want to die for these people out here in this world. I don't want to die for those people. Those people don't care for me. They don't love me. What if He would have said that and not even went to that cross? Where would we have been left after that? He didn't do that. There would be no hope for us. None. His total ministry, His total, whenever He was on this earth, whenever he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, is for others. It's for us. Greater love has no man. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15, 13. I want you to know, us a V. And I want you to know something, that is victory. And I want you to know something, you're not going to have love if you do not have victory in Jesus Christ. Amen? You're not going to have that. Matthew 28, 6 says, He is not here, for He is risen. I want you to know something. When Jesus Christ had victory over death, hell, and the grave, I said, amen? It did. And I want you to know something. Whenever I was saved, and whenever you were saved, praise God, we were able to have victory over this life, over the things of this world, and praise God, whenever He give me victory, I'll tell you what, He put love in my heart, amen? He put it there because He has conquered death. The old song, because all fear is gone, because I know who holds tomorrow. I want you to know, because He lives. Amen. Is that a love song right there? That's a love song. I want you to know that right there. That's one of the best ones ever wrote right there. He holds the future because He lives. What a love song is that? The moment that I was saved, the Lord, the joy that came into my heart, the joy that came in, I prayed through, folks, and I got victory. I want you to know something this morning here. You've got to know that you're saved. It's a no-so salvation. Don't let the devil blind you anymore. You know whether you're sitting here today, whether or not you're saved or not. You know if you're right with the Lord. There were people around me just like this over in Acts. Whenever I went back to school, there were people just like it was over in Acts 2:12. And it said, and they were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Well, back to school right after I got saved, they doubted. That's the same old boy right there. I'll tell you what, that's the same old Dave. And you know what? There's going to be people that doubt. But God flowing through that old stony heart, praise God. Remember, you can truly feel the victory. You can truly feel the love that comes through total victory through Jesus Christ. And you know the last letter in C, and I want you to tell you something, I believe it's for everyone. I believe that the love that we can show out is for everyone, brothers and sisters. You can't hide it. We talked about this last week, you know, as a love that cannot be contained. Listen, Matthew 5:15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. We will have a radiant life, folks. We'll have that. Our love, whenever there's less of us, whenever others are put before us, our love will shine out and everyone will know it. Amen? They will. I'll tell you what, Isaiah 61. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Amen? That he gave his only begotten son. He didn't just do it for a few. I'll tell you what, they come and get a song this morning. I'll tell you, that's my best shot at trying to describe what love is. And you know what? It goes on beyond that. Amen? It goes even beyond that. But praise God, I tell you what, I am so thankful that I knew one day what love really meant.